It's an amazing schus, it's a crazy privilege, it's a shocking privilege that we have every single day in the morning to wake up and to stand before the creator of the whole universe for a personal conversation. How amazing is that? It's amazing. We call it Shachris. Specifically, that portion of the davening is called the Amida, or colloquially referred to as the Shmoneh Esrei, which is really 19 brachos. Our focus today is to ascertain when is the appropriate time to daven Shachris, to have this private personal conversation with the Rabbono Shel Olam. So we're talking specifically about Shmoneh Esrei, and we're talking about the morning davening. And this is a very important discussion, halacha lemaisa, because very often we, at this time of year, are going places and doing things in the morning, and with the clock change, all of a sudden we're going to find when we get up in the morning, it's pitch black. And we're trying to figure out, do I daven now? This is a very good question. Sometimes it comes up, even a question, if we're, I guess, the other end of the travel, can I still daven now? Is it too late to daven? So our discussion today is about the optimal and then the basic times for davening. Well, what is going to set the parameters of davening, of Shmoneh Esrei? Well, what is Shmoneh Esrei patterned after? Once we know what it's patterned after, we can figure out the timing of it. So what is it patterned after? You saw the Gemara in Daf Chaf Vav Amud Beis. What is it patterned after? Tfilos are keneged? Karbanos, exactly. So even though it's true, one opinion of the Gemara is that the keneged, they're keneged, the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which, by the way, do not think that that means that Avram did not daven Mincha or Mariv. He probably did. Many of them before Hashem in the Gemara in Yuma point out, Avram, don't worry, he davened three times a day. I don't know who made his minion. With that, we don't know who the other members of the minion of Avram Avinu were. But Avram Avinu davened three times a day, but he is not associated with Mincha. That's Yitzchak and Yaakov associated with Mariv. But in addition to tefillos keneged avos, the Gemara says, and this is what you saw, the Rama Pasuk Zilchos Tefillah, the tefillos are keneged karbonos. So Shachris, the morning davening, correlates with
morning tamid.
That's right, the karbon tamid shel shachar. So, from an end perspective, which is the less complicated story, the Gemara tells us, you saw the Mishnah and Brachos on Daf Chaf Vav. We have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about the end time for davening, Shachris. Rabbi Yehuda says, which is the accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch, 4 hours, meaning one third of the day. And the Chachamim say, Chatzos. Now, Chatzos is midday. That's, let's say, if you take sunrise to sunset and you cut it in half, that's going to be Chatzos. That's not complicated. The 4 hours, 4 hours starting when? So this is why there's some ambiguity. There is a machlokas. Do you calculate these 4 hours, this quarter of your daytime, from sunrise, which is what we call Neitz HaChama in Halacha, until sunset, which is Shkiyas HaChama? Or do you back that calculation up and you start from sunlight, we can call it, Alos HaShachar, when the light starts, and then end that Cheshbon at Tzeis HaKochavim, when the stars come out, which is later than sunset. So this is explaining why when you look in the Luach, they're going to tell you, Sof Sman Tefillah, the end of Tefillah is, and they give you two different options. And that's because it depends on whether you're calculating from the earlier time, which is Alos, so then obviously your Sof Sman Tefillah, just like your Sof Sman Kriya Shema, is going to be earlier, and it's going to be later if you start from Neitz, and it's going to vary based on the time of the year, because the length of your halachic day starts and ends with the light, with the sun, not with your watch. On the equinox, it's true, you'll have 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of nighttime, but on a standard day, it's not going to be precise. So that's why when you look on these luachs, the zmanim are very peculiar, and they always oscillate over the course of the year. And this one is 10:27, and this is 11:34. And it's the same thing, by the way, for the time for Bir Chametz, right? All of these things are dependent on this question. Are you starting your calculation of the daytime from the earlier time, from Alos, or are you going to start it from Nates? So that's explaining the end time of davening. Lechatchila, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Pei Tes, you only daven until the third of the day, the four hours, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. If you missed Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, especially if it was unintended, something came up and you weren't delinquent, you weren't deliberately trying to miss davening on time, just an emergency happened, or you forgot, or you were traveling and you planned to daven in the plane, and then in the plane it got crazy, and then you landed. By the time you turn around, especially, you know, sometimes it could get very, very early, even the Zman Tefillah, and you turn around, it's like, oh, it's 10:30, and I can't daven Shacharis anymore. Sometimes you travel to places, I don't know if you've ever had this, there's certain Torah communities that they daven very late. There's some places they daven start the Shacharis like at 10 o'clock in the morning. So such places, which exist in every community, many of them are associated with Chabad, so they start Shacharis 10 o'clock. I've gone to Chabad Minyan where they start at 10 o'clock, but then they only start Pesukei Dezimra at like 10:20. So you get to Tzur Yisrael, it's like 10:45. So you have to watch the clock. It could be that it's after the 4 hours of Rabbi Yehuda. So even though it's after the 4 hours, you didn't intend, you didn't realize you forgot to daven earlier, so you could still daven. You don't get the full schar tefillah bizmana, but you still get schar tefillah. Once chatzos comes and goes, it's over. Why? Why should it be that once chatzos comes, it's over? Why should that be over? Based on what we said before, exactly, because the carbon is over, which is why there's a little interesting discussion. Nachronim, what about that first half hour? There's a gap between chatzos and what we call mincha gedola, a half hour where you don't bring the carbon tamid in the afternoon until a half hour after midday. So there's interesting discussion. Well, since we're not going to bring the tamid of the afternoon, maybe Epis you could squeeze it in. But that's not generally accepted. And the point is that since you can't bring the carbon tamid any longer, then you can't daven Shacharis any longer. Now, if God forbid, just backstop emergency, somebody had an emergency and they couldn't daven Shacharis, so there's something called Tashlumin, where they're going to recite Mincha, and then after the Shmoneh Esrei of Mincha, they're going to say a second Shmoneh Esrei as a makeup for the previous one. But that's not Shacharis. That's Tashlumin. It has its own halachos. Okay, yes, Alan. Yes.
Let's say it's 10 o'clock, okay?
Good.
Does it end at that point? Or completely?
Very good. Very good. So Alan is pointing out that it's interesting. The Gemara says in the beginning of the fifth parak of Pesachim that these karbonos, they take time. They exist over a period of time. So there are different parts of the karbon. The act of sacrificing a karbon to the Ribono Shel Olam includes four primary steps of a process. They relate to the blood, the sprinkling of the blood, that achieves the kapara, that accomplishes the connection between the process and the Ribono Shel Olam. So that means, how do you get the blood? Separating out the blood, that's shechting the animal. You catch the blood, that's step number two, in a cup that it's a kli sharis. Then you walk it over to the mizbeach, step number three, and then you sprinkle it or splash it, depending on the carbon. Once you do that, the carbon is officially check yotze. However, the limbs, because you saw in the psukim, right, the carbon tamid appears in three places. The carbon tamid appears when we introduce the avoda and the mikdash with the chinuch of the kohanim in parshas tetzaveh. It also appears in the context of carbon ola, which is, it's like the archetypal ola in parshas sav. And of course, it appears in the sequence of the timely carbonos in parshas pinchas. You saw all those three in the psukim, right? So this carbon, it's also going to have parts of it, the basar, the meat of the carbon, and the flesh, and the emurin, the guts of the carbon, all of it, everything except for the hide, is burnt on the mizbeach. That's what's called hektar chalavim vevarim, and that could take place even at night. You could even, because let's say in the Beis HaMikdash, they had lots of karbonos that needed to be burned. They could probably have a line of people waiting to burn their karbonos. You're only allowed to offer karbonos during the day, which is not today's topic, but this is why there's a big discussion about the last time for davening mincha. Well, mincha is going to relate to the Karban Tum Shabbein Harbayim. And when's the last time you're going to sprinkle the blood of the Tumat Shabbein Harbayim? Is it Shkia? Is it Seis? Anyway, but you have lots of people. They all have their limbs. It takes a while. Don't worry. So there is a din. You could do Hector Chalav Mevarim. You burn all the fats on the limbs overnight. That is the corollary for Maariv. Which explains why it is that, if you look back in the Gemara, Shachris, everybody assumes that you have to daven Shachris, because that's opposite, it's correlated with the Tamid Shal Shachar. Mincha, of course, you have to daven Minchas with the Tamid Shal Bein Rabbayim. Maariv, the Gemara has a machlokes about the nature of Maariv. Is Tfilas Arvis, is Maariv, is that a chova, a formal obligation, or is it a reshus? Now, we paskin it say, it's an obligation, because even if it wasn't a full obligation, we took it upon ourselves, blah, 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 blah. That's not for today. But the reason why is there ambiguity about Maariv? No Gemara has a discussion. Is there such an obligation to daven Shachris? Of course. The reason why is because theoretically, let's say the Kohanim had a very thin schedule that day, especially in the summertime. It's interesting that in the summertime, the Gemara has a tradition, the Gemara in Shkolim, that it wasn't always so busy in the Beis HaMikdash. I don't want to say where they were, you know, people, exactly. They were on vacation. So in the Beis HaMikdash, you know, maybe it wasn't so busy. So they only had a handful of korbanos. First of all, you have a very long day in the summer, and you didn't have that many people coming on Aliyah LeRegel. Like you said, they were on vacation. It's not time for Sholosh Regolim, and especially in the summertime, if you were living in an agrarian society, what were you doing? What were you doing? That's right, you were working. You were working. So they didn't have a lot of korbanos, so it's very possible that actually at night it was totally silent. They did all the burning during the day, so much so that they had a special fund, a discretionary fund that people just gave to whenever they wanted to, or certain korbanos would go to that fund for Kayetz HaMizbeach, the summer korbanos for the Mizbeach, when there wasn't a lot of korbanos going on. So that's why Maariv, there are a lot of leniencies when it comes to Maariv. We should take Maariv very seriously. What a great Koach HaTfilah at night. It's very important davening, but it's because it's correlated to the Hector Chalav Mevarim component that's left over from all the day's Karbonos. Okay. Ad Kan for the end time for Shachris. Yeah.
Quick question.
Yeah.
It seems to me you have four variables of time. You know, end, beginning, and then another end and beginning.
Yes.
Why don't we take two extremes and come on?
Well, it's not an arbitrary question, right? It's not a question of choosing arbitrarily, which is. The question is, and we'll kind of allude to this in a little bit, and obviously this is a very, very cursory summary of something that could take us many, many weeks. The Gemara has very specific calculations in Pesachim and Daf Tzadi Gimel of how to ascertain the length of a day.
Okay.
And so that's part of the issue, which is, which is the point of departure for that? And we're going to get to it in a little bit. It's nafkamina for the length of a daytime unit,
okay.
Hours and minutes. We'll get to that in 1 minute. Okay, so this is all very fine and good for the end time. When is the start time for Shachris? When would you say? The start time for Shachris is going to be the start time for?
Tumid.
The Tumid. Great. So when is the start time for the Tumid? So this is discussed in the Mishnah that you saw in Yuma. And the Mishnah in Yuma told us that Higias man shchita, Mishnah Daf Chav Ches, when is the time of shchita? So the first opinion in the Mishnah was, the guy would say, he would look around and say, Barkai! It's light! Barak! And then, the Mishnah tells you a second opinion, he says, no, they wouldn't just say, Barak, it's light, they would say, Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach. The whole eastern skyline is illuminated, ad to where? Chevron. Now, if you're in the Beis HaMikdash, so you're in the heart, the center of Israel, the map of Israel is, I mean, today it's kind of like a banana, but imagine you're in the center, you're standing in Yerushalayim, you are facing south. Imagine you're facing south. The big city that's going to be directly south of you is Chevron, exactly. So the sun is going to be rising in the east. The sun comes up in the east. So you see this whenever you daven Vasikin. It starts to get lighter and lighter farther east, right? Mm-hmm. And it takes time until even the southern edge starts. So it means This is what most Mepharshim in this Mishnah, not Rabbeinu El Yaakov, but the Rambam, 97% of the Mepharshim of the Mishnah mean the first opinion of Barkai, that's the first little bit of light. Ad Shebechevro means you're looking in the east and you see it's lit up all the way till it goes south. The Yerushalmi says, you know why they tapped into the Koach of Chevron? They mentioned Chevron because we want to mention, that's right, the Schus Avos, the merit of the Avos. When we start the day in the Beis HaMikdash, we always go back to the Avos, to our forefathers. It's a whole, you know, discussion in and of itself. So that's the first time we're going to shecht the Tamid Shel Shachar, according to the second opinion in the Mishnah, which according to the Rambam is the accepted opinion. The later time is Heir Pnei Kol Mizrach Ad She Bechevron. Now, what exactly does that mean? What does that look like? It's slightly after the time of Barkai. What is Barkai? Well, Barkai, Barak, is that first little bit of light. That sounds a lot like Alos HaShachar, which makes a lot of sense because you saw in the Mishnah, Megillah Daf Chaf, where the Mishnah told us that when you have a daytime mitzvah, you fulfill a daytime mitzvah during the day, which is lechatchila after sunrise. But b'dieved, if you can't do it during the at sunrise, you can start earlier all the way from Alos HaShachar. So the simple understanding is Barak, Barkai, the earlier time, that's Alos HaShachar. But the ideal time is a little bit later. Why? Because the Gemara said, you saw the Mishnah, that one time they made a mistake, unfortunately, and they confused the light of the moon with the light of the sun. So we tell people, the Kohanim, even though the Kohanim are Zrizim, so we let them go earlier than Nates. Regular people, most mitzvahs, you don't do it at Alos, you do it at Nates, because we don't want people making that mistake. Kohanim, we say, Kohanim, they're careful, but even Kohanim, they might make a mistake if it's super, super early, so we tell them, give it a couple minutes later. So, Heir Pnei Kol Mizrach Sheba Chevron, it's a couple minutes later than Alos. So that's going to be earliest time number one. Basic one-level time is you go earlier than sunrise, later than Alos HaShachar. It's not clear exactly how much longer that is. Maybe it's about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Okay, that's option number one. However, you saw that the ideal time, which the Shulchan Aruch quotes, the ideal time to daven Shacharis is actually at sunrise. Why sunrise? Because the Gemara in Brachos quotes a pasuk, Yira'ucha im shemesh. You should have this feeling of awe as the sun rises. And therefore, the Gemara says, the vasikin, vasik, what is vatik? Vasik means old, ancient. So the ancient tradition, the tradition of the ancients, who are very scrupulous about their spiritual growth, the vasikin, they daven immediately at sunrise. They daven immediately at sunrise. So that's the reason why people who daven at Nates are called vasikin. The Nates is not, that's the word vasikin does not mean sunrise. The word vasikin means the ancients. But that was the practice of those people who were mamish. They were the vasik. They were holding on to the ancient tradition. So this is the ideal lechatchila shabbat chatchila, Nates. And right before Nates is going to be Shmones, is going to be Shema. So that's even better. So option one, basic, is when they shechted the Tamid Shel Shachar, it's Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach. Option two, even better, is at Nates. B'dieved. B'dieved. If you didn't do it at Nates, because I don't know how many of us get up at Nates every day, although maybe some of you are up at Nates, especially now. Nates is so late, it's like 7:20. Some of us are, I davened Shacharis this morning even before Nates, which is, right, that's not... Nates this morning is probably around 7:20. 7:20. So wait a second. How could I daven Shacharis this morning? I davened not lechatchila. I had to daven early. So I davened Shacharis. I don't know. Shacharis, it's Rosh Chodesh. We started 6:30. So I don't know what time we got 6:15. What time?
6:15.
What?
It was when we started Shacharis.
I started at 6:30.
Okay.
But whatever. I'm saying I davened before Nays. And I didn't look at exactly whether it's Heir Pnei Kol Mizrach. But how early can you go? You're going to catch a flight. How early can you go? If it's not going to be Nates, it's going to be earlier than that. It's going to even be earlier than Heir Pnei Kol Mizrach. What's the earliest time you're going to daven? Alos HaShachar. Halos HaShachar, that's going to be your barak, that's going to be your bidyeved, backstop for every zman. Now, how early is Halos HaShachar? Not clear. The Gemara has two opinions. Our accepted opinion is that Halos HaShachar is the amount of time that it takes to walk a distance of 4 mil.
How far is a mil?
Good question. So a mil is 2,000 amma. An amma is somewhere between 18 inches and change and 24 inches. Okay? So it's 4 mil. Not like the opinion that says that it's 5. But how long does it take to walk 4 mil? So this is a big controversy. The same question exists in terms of how quickly you need to bake your matzahs. Right? If you leave the matzah unattended for more than 1 mil, the length of time that it takes to walk 1 mil, you have to be choshesh that maybe it became chametz. So this is a big machlokas. The Rambam's opinion, at least in one place, is that the length of time that it takes to walk a mil is 24 minutes.
So it says 551
a little shot. Oh, so we're going to explain why that is. Rambam's opinion, 24 minutes. According to the Vilna Gaon, it's 22 and a half minutes. And according to the Shulchan Aruch, the standard amount of time that it takes to walk a mil is 18 minutes, exactly. So now, if you take 18, multiply it by 4, you get 72, exactly. So the simple math, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is that Halos HaShachar is going to be 72 minutes before sunrise. The reason why this is complicated and why when you look in the Luach, you see lots of different times is because, wait a second, when was the Gemara speaking? And where was the Gemara speaking? Who was calculating this distance to sky ratio? Right? What we're describing is how light is it in the sun, in the sky? How light is it? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how light it is. It's so light that it would take you 4 mil to walk before it was sunrise. Well, that day, that's going to be on the equinox, and that's going to be in Israel. Do you know?
Sure.
You've been. Right?
What if it's cloudy?
Okay, in those days, it was hard to ascertain when it was cloudy, which is a good question. So they actually were very sensitive, much more sensitive to the astronomy than we are, but they had a whole... That's why the Gemara has to make a cheshbon. If it's cloudy, that's why you stop eating chametz early. You eat kosher Pesach early because the Gemara was wondering what's going to happen if you can't tell how light it is outside. That's why you have to back it up. Anyway, you grew up in Israel. How long does it take for the sun to disappear and for it to get dark? A lot quicker than it does in Chicago. Right? And in the summertime, it could be even a lot longer. So this is why there is a debate in the Achronim how to figure out in Chicago when is Halos. So option A is to say, okay, and at equinox in Chicago, it's 72 minutes, or it's going to be 90 minutes or 96 minutes, depending on which sheet you go with. But then you also, according to many, have to factor in the latitude. So it takes a lot longer. So it could be that Halos HaShachar in Chicago is going to be not 72 minutes, according to the Shulchan Aruch, maybe it's going to be 90 minutes. And according to the Rambam, it's going to be 150 minutes, whatever, some crazy number. And on the other end, which is not our discussion, but if you think about how this affects your Motzei Shabbos and all these kinds of things, the idea that your latitude matters is really important. So now, when you look at whatever luach you're using, everyone's going to have the same sunrise. Once we establish that sunrise is when the ball of the sun comes up, so we know when that is. That's, you look on the Naval Observatory, they give you the schedule. The question is, halachically, how much earlier than that is Halos? So it's complicated. If it's the equinox and you're in Israel and you want to follow the Shulchan Aruch, great, 72 minutes flat, you're done. But if you're in Chicago, that's going to differ because the sky differs, the light differs. And we're subtracting here light pollution.
We also don't see Hebron so often.
Yeah, exactly. The Hebron is gone. So, now we've gotten three opinions. Ideal best thing, daven at Nates. Second best, you didn't do Nates, daven after Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach, before Nates, or after Nates, before, you know, Sof Zman Tefillah. Davening before Heir Kol Pnei HaMizrach until Halos HaShachar, starting Halos HaShachar, okay, that's your third backup. But it's happened sometimes there was a discussion. What happens if a person, they're in a situation where they cannot daven between alos and 4 hours, or even chatzos? It's an extreme circumstance, but we'll finish with this, and this was the case. There was a very important Talmud Chacham, Rav Sorotzkin, who authored, some of you are familiar with the Chumash commentary, Oznayim LaTorah. So the Rav Sorotzkin, the author of the Oznayim LaTorah, also wrote a Shuvah Sefer called Moznayim LaMishpat, where he was asked a question in a pre-war context in Europe, where there were workers who were conscripted into government labor, where they were not given any break during the day. They did not have any time. There was zero option. And the conscription was that they had to be in this, whatever, forced labor in this factory, wherever they were working, from before Alos until after Chatzos. They could not, there was no breakfast break, no lunch break, no work from home, no Zoom, let's just say. And Ad Kedekach, that he describes, it sounds like there's even some level of like a pikuach nefesh, like people were really afraid for their lives. And I can understand that. If you were working in some office for the Tsar, you didn't just take a coffee break because you wanted to take a coffee break. Something very bad could happen to you. So he was asked what to do. He says, oh, this is really a serious problem. On the one hand, you're supposed to daven at Nates. Okay, you didn't daven at Nates, you're supposed to daven after Her Pnei Kol Mizrach. After that, you're supposed to daven after Alos. But, guess what? He digs up one opinion of Rashi and Brachos on Daf Lamed, and a Ravon, and one or two other minority Rishonim, who are not accepted generally. But he says, maybe if you ask another rabbi somewhere in Europe, another Gadol, he'll be maskim that b'shas hatchak atzum, like this, where it's literally no other options, maybe he could even daven before Alos. There is a Talmud Yerushalmi, a comment to the Talmud Yerushalmi that says 4 mils worth before Alos is something called Ayelas HaShachar. It's even earlier. And he wonders if maybe, and this is a suggestion that Rav Sorotzkin has, maybe you could say, look, do you know the first thing that they did, and you saw this in Parsha Sav, the first thing that they did before they shechted the Karban Talmud, what did they do first thing in the morning? Yes, they did the Trumas Hadesh and they cleared off the ashes. So he says, maybe that's the pshat. Maybe that even though, of course, the Karban Talmud could not be brought before Alos HaShachar, the Karban couldn't be brought, but how did you prepare for the Karban? You had to do Trumas Hadesh, you had to clear out the ashes. So he says, maybe that, in that emergency, unusual circumstance, that could be relied on. Now, we would not rely on that in our lifetime, unless, God forbid, there was some hospitalization, some emergency case. But it's just good to be aware of. And this brings us back to where we started, which is, I gave you in the packet at the end, a very interesting article in the 1970s from Rabbi Bleich, Shall Live and Be Well. Rabbi Bleich's article is about daylight savings time. And this is right now actually an issue, halacha lemaisa, in America. Because there was a resolution which passed the Senate, but didn't pass the House. It's kind of died in discussion. It started in March, where they're talking about making permanent changes to the Zmanim. Well, if they do that, all of a sudden now, we're going to have a total different schedule for people who have to get up work, to get out, work or travel early in the morning. This is going to become an issue. So this is the kind of the issue that we're dealing with. So to summarize, we talked about the fact that the davening shachars that we have is parallel to the Talmud Shel Shachar. We talked about the end time, which is the 4 hours versus the chatzos, and then the beginning time, which is going to be one of these four stages, either Nates, or Her Pnei Kol Mizrach, or at least backstop, general b'dievet is going to be Alos HaShachar, which we saw has a lot of different variables, and then, God forbid, worst case scenario, even before Alos HaShachar. So, have a wonderful day.